Amen. So that's why, you know, we're praying about, right? We're praying about the will of God. How many people know that the answer to the darkness in the world is just the gospel? There are not two or three things. It's just the gospel. Amen. Philosophies, politics can ebb it a little. But what will change a man's heart is the gospel. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Think about a terrorist coming to know Jesus. And then he comes to know the light.
Yes.
Will he bomb anybody?
No.
He won't. If they enlist him in a war, will he go and fight? No, he won't. The answer to everywhere you look at it that looks like the world's problem, the answer around it is what? The gospel. So the wisdom of a man or a woman in this our age is that the gospel spreads. And anything that is against the gospel spreading becomes what? Our enemy. Amen. Because they are working against the plan of God. Praise the Lord. So this week as well, we are praying and we are fasting. We are gathering together 7 to 9. Amen and amen. Every day, what are we doing? We are not ignorant. The Bible has said prayer is the supply of the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I just give my personal story so that it can be a little encouraging. I think I saw this scripture in 2005. When did I see this scripture? 2005. That was the time I committed my life to my life. I'm not saying seasonal. I'm saying say life.
Life.
I committed my life to a lifetime of prayer. It's not even about did I see result or did I not see result. It's about the fact that it's an instruction that we do. Amen and amen. Church, amen and amen. Because you see, if you are always only about results, while you wait for results, the devil can discourage you. You have been praying. What is the proof of the prayer? But when the devil knows that you have sold out to say result or no result, we are doers of the word. Say, I'm a doer of God's word. It's not, I am a doer of God's word. Let me say something to you that will help you. In your Christian journey, some things are just important that will help you in your journey, regardless of the season. Read the word, pray, and obey the instructions that you read in the word. That's it. Praise God. Church, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Very important. So we give ourselves to prayer. Say, I am a man of prayer. Say, I'm a man of prayer. Let me say something to you. You don't just learn how to pray for 10 hours by deciding to pray one day 10 hours. Amen.
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 We grow. But you must be committed to intentional growing. Meaning you are the one that will set off. And sometimes you must start to self-motivate yourself. You are the one that will set off and say, today I will pray 30. Then you get better, 100. For those who actually lift all these weights, the first time you lift a 25 kg, you will not be able to carry it because your muscles are not exercised in that dimension. So you will struggle with it. But if you start off with 13, you carry that for 2 weeks, you realize that 15 will be easier to carry. Then 17, then 25. Then you're able to carry the one that... So ensure that you give yourself to these things. The man... See, in the days and age that we are in, if you do not know that the spiritual wickedness is real, just look at the world. Look at all that's happening. You will know that there's a need for prayer. You will know that we need more of God on the earth. I mean the manifestation of God. Praise the Lord. You also know that you need to be a continuous disciple. Say a continuous disciple. Let me say something to you, please. I want to beg you, right? I am not a herbalist. I'm a pastor. That means I teach. I expect that you will take down notes so that you can actually be able to do what? Teach other people the things that you're learning. Because I have been known to have a, if you call it photographic memory, but I still forget things. Amen. Meaning that if somebody said something to me, I will say the exact same thing the person said. But I'm telling you that I have come to notice that I miss out some things in me regurgitating it. So it's important. Learn it as a practice. Some of us do it, some of us don't. I was sharing with a brethren yesterday, and she called a scripture, and she said, where could that scripture be? I gave her the answer of the scripture. She was like, how did you know? You only would know by an exercise of being a student. You know, if you have written down a scripture, I don't know if your brain is like that. But if you have written down a scripture many times and you have written down what the scripture says, what is the you won't forget that scripture. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. See, there is nothing you cannot remember. Nothing you cannot remember is what you pay attention to. There are some lyrics of some songs that are very, very difficult. What's her name now? Fola will sing for you here now. She will rap Eminem Slim Shady from beginning to the end. And she will give you the, I'm Slim Shady, I'm the, you say, will you say, and she will go on. I'd be like, how was she able to know it? She listened to it, what? Over and over again. For some people, they will write down the lyrics, miss it because they want to know it. It's the same thing with what? Scriptures. Why? You will need to know the scriptures in the days that you are. Because you are the people the Bible says are to do what? Defend the faith. Amen. Amen. So approach Bible study with a studious mindset. It's important. But I believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified. Amen. We are teaching on the supply of the Spirit. I've already started teaching. Approach Bible study with a studious mindset. Lives depend on it. Lives. How many people? Lives. Last night, I think I was awake, not doing much. I was just watching what is happening with the war. And I saw babies being mutilated and killed. Over religion, over somebody believing something that is a lie. See, you can't afford to be flippant with eternal life. Because it can be that one person. See, it was one man, Philip, that met another man called the Ethiopian eunuch, who was on his way to where? Africa. The guy was reading Isaiah 55. Philip did not need to practice. The Bible just said the Lord sent Philip there. When the man was preaching, the Bible says he heard the man say he went to the slaughter, he did not see anything, he was bruised for infirmities. The man, the Ethiopian eunuch now said, who is this verse talking about? Is he talking about Isaiah or is he talking about another? The Bible says Philip started from where the eunuch, not that they tell you, you say, eh? Between you and I, you know, I have, is that in the Bible? Is that, hey God. Why? He said he started there, clarified that Isaiah was not talking about himself. He was talking about a Messiah that was to come. And from where the man was reading, got him to receive Jesus. God did not give Philip notice that he was going to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. Amen. Church, amen. He was on a crusade ground in Samaria. God just said, take all your things now and go towards the desert. Straight, no practice, no training, nothing. Just be going. And the Bible says when he got there, the Holy Ghost told him, join that chariot. Then he hears the man teaching the God, talking about it, and he could not understand. You are the answer to people's confusion. So you must take doctrine seriously. You write down, you pray, you go back over it, you listen to the messages. Amen. You are the answer. How many people via doctrine, your confusion has actually disappeared? He listening to me preach. Let's be honest here. Listening to me preach. Imagine that I did not take doctrine seriously. Imagine. Imagine that I did not pay attention. Imagine what's going to happen. I'll feed you rubbish. You will feed another rubbish because you will not know that it is rubbish. And that's why you got to be intentional, a student. Amen. The same approach is not easy. It's not funny. So it's the same way with how many people here have gone to any kind of school before in their lives? Uh-huh. Did you do exams? Uh-huh. Was it hard? Did you study all night? Uh-huh. Why? You wanted to have a BSc. So there is something bigger than BSc. There is something bigger than MSc. There is something bigger than PhD. And you have found it already. So giving yourself to study, as one of our sisters, Sofola, who most likely have been studying overnight for wanting to become a doctor, when she became a doctor, and it wasn't easy. But she is now. If somebody collapsed here, and we look around, we expect that she'll be looking around the person's heart. She's not pumping the person's leg. Because she must have studied it. Because if she is touching the leg, wake up now, wake up. We're in trouble. This person is dead. Why? When they were teaching her how to resuscitate people, she didn't write it down. So at the end of the day, she's touching toes. Say, let me touch his toe. Let me wiggle it up and now. The guy will wake up. Now we're doing RIP. Why? Because the lady involved was not intentional. Did not take note. This is important. Right? It's important. Because if we would rescue a people, you must be able to meet somebody who has made up their minds that there is no Jesus. And you walk them through from scriptures. And there's no Bible with yourself. Not say, you know what, well, that's your philosophy. You fight. You don't know. No, it's not argument of fighting. You can take them through scriptures in your mind contextually. Okay, let us look at John 3:16, but you're not even looking there. You say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him they might be saved. Here is the condemnation, that a man came into the world, light came into the world, and men have embraced darkness. Then you now say, do you know what that means? You start to explain it to them. Because we need people who are able to, in the day and age that you are, you cannot say, glory, forget it, it's a mystery. No. People will ask you, why? Where is Adam's wife? How did Cain marry? Who are the people he married? What do you mean by God became a man? What do you mean that eternal life means you can never die? You must be able to answer these questions. If you cannot answer these questions, how the burdens, the imaginations of the minds of men will not go away? Because, see, Christianity is not just saying, say after me. That is why we look like we are betting people that are, they say they are born again, but they are not saved. Just say after me, well, you know what? God loves you, he loves you, he likes you, he likes you. You own car, you get car. Now say after me. They don't get saved that way. What gets a man saved? If thou will believe, Romans 10 verse 9. If thou will believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth. What are you to believe? That Jesus Christ came into this world and he died and he came out of the grave. If thou would believe that, and for in coming out of the grave, eternal life is available. If thou would believe that simple statement, you will be saved. What is belief? You see, before a man can believe something, something must have been said. So what will he be believing? That means you are going to take him through. Some of us got into church, stayed in church so long, we got born again in the mix, we don't even know when. The day we thought we got born again might not have been the day we got born again. Because honestly, I just went out. Some people go, how many people have gone out for altar call like 34 times? In the middle of that 34, maybe in 28, 29, one day you just got to believe that there is a... Because what gets you saved is the fact that you have heard... So there are many people who say they are Christians today, but they are not saved. Why? What gets a man saved is that he believes the gospel. What is the gospel? He believes. So somebody must have told him that there is a Jesus. There is a God that loves. That God became a man called Jesus. Because why? You are a man that is in sin. The problem was sin also brought death. So God came into this world, and what did he do? Through Jesus Christ, and then he has taken away that nature of sin that you have. When you believe on him and accept what he has done for you, a substitution has taken place. And the man says, is that so? Yeah. That's why if you read the book of Acts, I'm purposely quoting scriptures much more today than normal, so you know that study has taken place. If you read the book of Acts chapter 3, you will see that the Bible will say, when he finished speaking, their hearts were... pricked. 26 to 28. Then they said, what shall we do? Then he said, why? Because he had said to them, the Jesus that came, who you put on the cross, whom you killed and crucified, the Lord has raised the Prince of Life. So okay, what are we going to do now? So meaning that when we have finished the gospel, and somebody should be able to say, okay, what are we to do? Then the person will say, okay, believe. So all this is I'm saying, do you agree with it? That there is a Jesus, that he came, he died for your sins. Say, yeah, I believe, says you're saved. You don't even need to pray for the person. We just pray to make it spiritual. We don't pray for the person. Listen, because the Bible doesn't say when you say, oh, Father, receive your soul. No, God is not waiting for anybody to pray so that anybody's soul can be received. You believe you are saved. Amen. Church, amen. And the very moment you believe the gospel, you receive the gift of the righteousness. You give this gift, you receive the gift of life. You receive the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Church, amen and amen. We got all here by saying, give yourself to the word. 2 Corinthians. I've already started teaching. Remember I said to you, the easiest way to live the Christian life is what? I've already said it today. What did I say you should do? Read your Bible, pray, and do the thing that it says radically. Let me put it that way. Let's start off with read, because if you do not read, how will you know how to pray? Read, pray, and do the instructions you see in scriptures. Don't wait for anybody. That's how you change. Amen. Church, amen. I'll say it again. How would you make spiritual progress if they want to break it down for you? Read the scriptures. Let me say it better. Read the scriptures in context. Meaning there are sometimes the Bible isn't talking to you. Amen. I mean that verse is not talking to you. So you must be able to read the Bible in context to answer the question, is this part talking to me? Amen. Church, amen. Right? And don't be that kind of person that just closes the Bible. Approach the Bible studiously. Systematically. You want to read. Open Galatians. Start from part one. Don't just close the Bible and say, wherever I fall into. We had a brother who was cracking a joke and said, he doesn't believe that thing. How he reads his Bible is that he just does like this. He closes it. Where he opens it up, he picks it up, and that's where he starts on from. And apparently, the man was teaching, to be honest. And he said, I'm going to show you people. Right? And then the man did it on live TV. He said, I'm going to show you people. And he opened his Bible, and the place his eye came to was John the Baptist. Judas Iscariot. What did he do? Hung himself. He closed the Bible again. He opened it. The next verse, the verse that came to his eye was, go and do likewise. You see the danger of not reading the Bible like that. You know, if you're not well taught, you say, God is speaking to you to commit suicide. Some might say, oh, that's ridiculous. A lot of us do those things, but we're like, okay, because it's not that serious, we do it. But when it's John Baptist, they say you should come and kill yourself. You say, no, God can be God. Read your Bible systematically. Who is he talking to? Whatever he says about you, shout about it. Jesus was talking to the disciples. He says, whatever I tell you in the inner caucus, to go to the roof and do what? Shout it. He said, you've got eternal life. It doesn't matter what anybody calls you. I have eternal life. He says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Who are you? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's how we change. He says, you're holy and blameless. Meaning holy means you are set apart. You are distinct. You are peculiar. You are not everybody. You say, I am set apart. I am distinct. That's the word holy. That's why Holy Spirit means there are many spirits in the world. But this Holy Spirit is a distinct, set-apart spirit. Right? Holy Bible. There are many books and Bibles in the world. But Holy Bible means distinct, set-apart for a particular purpose. Right? Praise God. So you are, the Bible calls you saint, which is the Holy One. What does that mean about you? You are set apart unto a particular purpose. So you are not just a person that exists. So if you read the Bible well, it will cure your low self-esteem. Amen. Church, amen. 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 Why? The Bible says you are set apart unto him. Holy. Praise God. Church, praise God. Hallelujah. Church, praise God. Hallelujah. Church, praise God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm holy. I'm holy. Come on, I am holy. So we are holy by nature, and that's what affects our actions. Say, I'm holy by nature. Say, the nature that I have is holy. Come on, let's say it again. The nature that I have is holy. Who made you holy? God. Hebrews 10, verse 10. Who made you holy? I want someone over there to read it for us in any version to communicate the same through. 10:10. Who made you holy? Who made you holy? who set you apart. By the which will we are sanctified, we are made holy. Through the offering of the body of Christ. How many times? How many times do believers get holy? One. Why are they holy? Because somebody has made that holiness available. Let me, another person give me another version that people like nowadays. NLT, TPT, because it always looks like if we don't go to TPT, Sister Funke will not be happy. Okay, let's go to the ones you like. By God's will, you have been purified and made holy once and for all through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, the Messiah. Amen. So who are you? You are what? Holy. So you start off on your journey understanding that you are holy. How did he become holy? Jesus Christ made you holy. So when they say that Jesus Christ died, the Bible tells you that sacrifice was to make you holy. So you are holy by nature. Amen. So now the first thing to know, the first thing to tell your mind is that you are holy. Listen to me carefully. Don't first deal with your actions. Deal with what your mind knows about you. For that's how you should write it down. Don't first deal with your actions. Don't start saying, oh my God, what am I going to do? I eat too much. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I talk too much. Start off with who you are. Who are you? You are holy. Holy unto who? God. It means you are set apart. That it is that holiness in your mindset that corrects your behavior. That is how believers change. Amen. The Bible will now tell you, when Paul will hear that a Corinth church, that people in that church were living evil lives, they were sleeping with one another, what did he correct them? Know ye not that your body is the temple? So are there things you will do when you forget what your temple is? Yeah. So when you misbehave, what is the problem? You have forgotten that your temple is what your temple is. That's what holy living is. Amen. Church, amen. You know, again, you know, sometimes some people might just shout holy, holy. They don't know what it means. Holy is set apart. You know, like I always say, how many people have ever heard the word Ark of the Covenant? Do you know what they used to do with the Ark of the Covenant? What was the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament? It was a symbolism of the presence of God. Anytime that Ark goes anywhere, how do they carry that Ark? They'll say four men must carry it. They will put a pole. They used to walk everywhere with it boldly. That anywhere that Ark is, it is sacred. It is treated holy, beautifully. Now, the mindset is that Ark of the Covenant is a type and shadow of who? Of who? No, okay, let's start off again. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is the symbolism of the presence of God. Where, when Moses and Solomon, they built a temple, what did they put in the temple? The Ark of the Covenant. So the temple was built for the Ark. And the Ark is the presence of God. What is that teaching really? It's talking about the believer. Who is the... So what is this that you have as flesh? Temple. What is inside the temple? The presence, the spirit. So the same way they treated the Ark of the Covenant, reverend, holy, special. The moment that Ark gets into a battle, be beating Israel, something will just happen. The people of Israel had the confidence. So they treated it specially. They walked with it specially. It always went in front of them because that was the symbolism. If you found any, you can't even play around the Ark. It's not possible. You can't even touch the ark. You need to be a priest to touch the ark. Amen. Why? Because it was the presence of God. In knowing that, are you hearing what I'm saying? In knowing that, they now tell you, you are the presence of God. You are the temple of God. It is that knowledge that makes you not use your body anyhow. That's all. That's what it is. That's all. It's just holy. So when I use my body anyhow, I don't say, God doesn't love me. God has left me. God has done this. God has done that. What do I need to do? I need to remember. That is why if you read a lot of the Psalms, it was always shouting about remember. See, the greatest problem believers have is remember. When a believer is sick, what does he need to remember? What does he need to remember? He remembers that God is power. God is Rapha. God is healer. He would remember. When a man is struggling with sin, what does he remember? That our God is sanctifier. Our God is Tiskenu, the righteousness, the righteous one. So the major problem of the believer is that he forgets. Amen. Church, amen. So that is why the Bible always says you should remind yourself. We always forget. We always forget. Okay, let's get into the scriptures. The book of Galatians. We are going to be reading chapter 3. Say, I put to mind. Come on, I put to mind. Oh, I put to mind what God has done for me. All right, okay. I today, in Galatians 3, will be going to verse 13. Also, for your notes, I want you to write 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. And then we'll look at them. We'll start off in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, and then we will close. Are we together? Let's start off in 2 Corinthians 13 now. Popular scripture, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. Are we there now? Are we there? Okay, what does it say? How many remember the teaching of today again? Supply of the Spirit. We just got a little distracted, but it's good. Supply of the Spirit. So we are looking at verse 14. So we are really talking about the Spirit. Okay, it says the grace of our Lord Jesus is the... How do I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or how do I know the love of God? Where is the love of God expressed? In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's say it better. When I say God loves you, how do you know? It will be that he sent Jesus, or he came into the world. Amen. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the proof of the love of God. What is the end result of this Jesus Christ coming into the world? It is there. The communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So, God loves me. The end of it is that he gave me the Spirit. Amen. Church, amen. Are you with me? Amen. How do I know God loves me? Because he gave me something? No, because he gave me the Spirit. The only proof that you can have that is eternal of God's love, and that's why a lot of people struggle. People try to get to know God's love from their experiences. And because the world, people think that God controls everything in the world. So when you sit down and think that God shows that he loves you from your experiences, the devil will whoop you all the time. Amen. Because there are people in this world that are born again, who God can influence. There are people in this world that are not born again, who will do evil for the devil for free on this earth. So for example, if you've got a wicked boss and that boss zeroes on you to make your life difficult, you now go and say, if God loved me, he would not give me this kind of boss. That's not true. You have that kind of boss, not because God does not love you, but because there are wicked people on the earth. Amen. 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 If God loves me, why will they rob me of my phone? Your phone is robbed not because God doesn't love you, but because someone has hardened his heart to the love of God and thinks taking another person's property is the way to go. Amen and amen. Amen. Precious, help me increase it over there. Red one. Amen and amen. Amen. Church, amen and amen. Amen. So the love of God must not be viewed on your experiences. Amen. Amen. There is only one thing you can point to as the reason God loves you, and it will be true. And what would that be? That's what he said. He said, he gave you the Spirit. Amen. Church, amen. And when we say he gave you the Spirit, some people might not know how big of a deal this is. What is Spirit? God gave you himself. God gave you life. Amen. Church, amen. Uh-huh. Okay. So God's love for you is not something that comes to an end. Say, God's love for me is not something that comes to an end. God is always with the believer. Amen. Why? Because the believer is his home. When God is in you, which is your reality today, God is at home. Say, God is at home in me. Say, I'm the postcode of God. God is on the earth today in me. Say, God. You know, sometimes people don't get that across in their minds. Say, God is on the earth today in me. God gave himself to me as a gift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Right. So, we now know that God is in how many believers? How many people? So, God is in everyone. But listen, because this is where I'm going to. We're talking about supply. You know that how many people have lived in a country where which there will be a tank filled with water? Then there is something now that is now called maybe a pumping machine. That apparatus is everywhere in the world, but in some countries it's quite vivid. Maybe you see the tank physically. In the UK here is there, you know, but they put their tanks in the loft. They call them cold storage tanks and stuff like that. They put them in different places. Amen and amen. They put them in different places, but there is a tank. There is now a pumping machine. That one now, the assignment of that tank is to pump the water, of the pumping machine, is to pump the water from the tank into the taps that you open and you can now use. Amen? Amen. Now, the idea is, because I need you to understand it, this will help you in your prayer journey, how to experience miracles and how to just live the Christian life. So we are saying every believer is like that tank filled with water. But this is my point. Not every believer gets the water coming out at the tap. So there's a difference between I have water and I'm using water to take my bath. God has given you his Spirit. That is typological of a tank with water. That tank can never diminish. That tank is always full. That tank is always fully loaded with everything the believer would need. Amen. Amen. That comes from God. Amen. Amen. That tank, it has peace. In fact, the Bible will tell you what is in the tank. In the tank is power. We'll see it together. In the tank is peace. Regardless of the storms going out in the world, there is a tank you have that has all the peace you need, regardless of this situation you are in. But you've got to connect the tank to the pipe to get the water of peace. How do you do that? It tells you in Isaiah 26, verse 3, he will keep in perfect peace, them whose minds are stayed on him. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Church, amen. Amen. What did I just say? He will keep in
perfect
peace them whose minds are stayed on. He will keep in what? He will keep in what? I just wanted to confirm that, I'm sure. Isaiah 26 verse 3. He will keep. So there is peace in the tank. But Fola may never experience peace all throughout her journey on the earth. Is it that Fola does not have peace? She just did not connect her tap to a tank. How does she connect it? She will keep in perfect peace them whose minds are what? Stayed. So when all the world is going upside down, if Fola is to experience the peace that she is full of, that is in her tank, what is she to do with her mind? Feed her mind with what's happening on Twitter, on social media, on evil, or put her mind on him, the love he has for her, his grace, his mercy, his peace, his kindness, his goodness. So when Fola takes her mind and feeds it with everything on the world, will she experience peace in her tap here? No. She will experience what she put her mind on. But Fola has got all of the peace that the world needs. In Fola is a reservoir of peace that if you take from her all of the peace that seems like you have taken everything, it just gets full again. Because you cannot deplete her peace quotient. But for Fola to stop producing peace, she must take her mind off him. So, I want to help you understand today, you've got a tank. That tank is full of, see, Galatians 5, what is in your tank? What is in your tank? Are you in Galatians 5? We're going to read verse 22. I don't want to read what is in the tank of the devil. All right. Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What is in your tank?
Love.
Can you run out of love?
No.
Never. But we can, but as a believer, can you act wickedly?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. What else is in your tank?
Joy.
Can a believer sit down here and start crying?
Yeah.
Wailing and just thinking about and just cry. But what is in that believer's tank?
Joy
is there. But if the believer, that's why the first thing to do is know who you are and what you have. So you can participate. If not, it will look like the world, or like we Christians are just manipulating each other. What else is in your tank? Peace is there. Long suffering is there. You know that ability to give people a long rope is there. Look at it there. It says gentleness is there. Goodness is there. Faithfulness, that ability to give people your word. A man of integrity in your generation. Like Job. His word is his bond. Not giving to lying. He's there. He's in there. Faithfulness is wherever God puts him. He's not waiting for anybody to look at him. He's not waiting for the pastor to say you have done well. He's just in him, a nature to be faithful. God is in him. God is faithful. Why? God, if God promises a thing, like he promised Jesus Christ, did he fulfill him by coming? Though it was impossible, he came. Why? In the nature of our papa is faithfulness. What did God give to you? He gave you faithfulness. So his faithfulness is in you. You will be the one to choose, either consciously or unconsciously, to say, I won't be faithful. Amen. Church, amen. Look at verse 23. Meekness. Meaning being humble. Not overestimating yourself. Is it in you? Church, is it in you? So that means pride is your decision or your ignorance. Pride will be the believer acting outside of himself. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
So we have looked at the things that are in us. So let us see how this thing works. Let's go back to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Say, love is in me. Come on, say, love is in me. You know, when you're looking at 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not keep a record of wrongs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is what? Patient. Love is kind. Love is thinking of the best for the other person. Say, love is in me. All right. Okay, where are we now? We are going to Galatians 3. Look at verse 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has what? Bewitched you. You see what he's telling the Galatians? Why? He had told them, imagine, I tell Fola, like I'm telling everybody here, I tell Fola, love is in you. Then I travel. Then Funke writes me and says, hello, Pastor Dial. Sorry to disturb you on your travels, but I need to communicate to you the notoriety of our sister Fola. We found Fola at the bus stop fighting with somebody over bus pass. Now, she's written that to me, and we have been begging Fola to leave this man. She said she will beat him up. When I write to Fola, what will I say? Who has bewitched you? What's wrong with you? Are you under a spell? That's what he's saying. Is it not you I told that love is in you? Couldn't you leave the man and your post pass that you are fighting on the street and saying, yes, I'm born again, no, but I'm not mad. I'm born again, no, boy, I'm not stupid. And you are tearing. No, I'm now responding to her saying, that's what's happening to the Galatians. He told the Galatians, you've got the spirit. God lives in you. You know, sometimes you are told who you are. It takes you intentionally keeping it in front of you. If not, you misbehave. Amen and amen. Church, amen and amen. The Bible in Revelation 1 verse 5 calls you kings and priests. But you may live all this your life acting like you are just a non-entity. That is your choice. But the Bible already says you are kings and priests unto God. Amen. All right. So that's what's happening in Galatians 3. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Is it not in front of you that I display Jesus Christ that is crucified amongst you? Now look at verse 2, because we are now trying to deal with something here. What are we dealing with? You have tank. The tank is full of water. How do we get the tank producing water for you or for people? Look at verse 2. Please, I want you to follow me. Look at verse 2. This only I will learn of. This only I will learn of. Receive ye. Please, are you seeing it there? Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. The man is asking, how did you get saved? Was it by what you did or by hearing? Amen. Church, amen. So there are two things I want you to see here. I am trying to say to you, please listen carefully. I'm trying to say to you, if a man who experienced the supernatural, there is something also that is connected to him, that must be connected to him. It is hearing. How many people here? How many people here are saved? How did you get saved? You got saved because somebody spoke. What did they say? Jesus Christ has salvation. And this salvation is this salvation is that which you need, and it is free, and you have eternal life. Praise God. You heard that message, and what did you do? You believed. How many people here worked for your salvation? Nobody worked for their salvation. Why? You can't work for your salvation because you were told. You were told that what? Salvation is, church, salvation is, free. Salvation is free. So, let me say something here. So, it will help us because we are trying to get how you can receive. If somebody came to the front here and I told the person, Jesus Christ is Lord. Like I'm preaching, Jesus Christ paid for your sins. There is eternal life available. It's free of charge. You don't need to have any payment done, and you will receive God's life. And I say, if anybody wants to be saved, come out here. Those of you that are saved, would you have any doubt in your mind that God will save that person? Why would you be so confident that God will save that person? Because you know, you have been told, that as it relates to God, God saves freely. Amen. So that's what we're trying to say here. So if I, so everyone is confident. Let me now show you a simple way to receive miracles. Everyone is confident. They are confident. God will save. What is salvation? The greatest work of God. Meaning that, for example, you can't compare salvation of a soul, of a man, to a man having brand new eyes. But you know what has happened to Fola? Fola has heard many times, God can save. God is a savior. God will save. God saves. God saves. That we have made salvation of God so easy, and really it is. A man just needs to come and believe and he's saved. You have seen it so many times through scriptures where it tells you, because I'm going somewhere, if you get this thing, it's easy to reproduce miracles when you want. Note it down. When you want. So you can mechanically, you know, there are people like that called plumbers. There is a tap, there is a tank, there is maybe a pipe. It's all blocked. The plumber will know how to remove all the things in there, reconnect it to ensure that the tap is working with water. That's what we're trying to do tonight. How can a believer operate in the miraculous? Very simply. Mechanically, very simply. So how many people believe that God is a savior? And God saves. How did you believe? You heard. You heard. You heard and you kept hearing to the point that you are confident that it's not a faith matter for you. You just know that anybody that believes will be saved. Amen. Church, amen. Anybody that believes will be saved. That's what this man is saying here. If I told you there are 15 things you need to do to be saved, right? The Bible says that will be the works of the law. And those are not the things that saved you. Now follow me carefully. Follow me. We are getting to the point of miracles. He now says here, we just read verse 2. This only I will learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Let's answer that question. Did you receive the Spirit? Meaning, did you get born again by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? By the hearing of faith. Brilliant. It says, are you so foolish? Haven't begun in the Spirit. So what, please, I want to believe you are intelligent here. Haven't begun in the Spirit. What will Spirit mean? Beginning in the Spirit, will it mean walking to be saved or hearing to be saved? So to in the Spirit would be, I heard something and walked in the light of it. Yeah. So he calls it in the Spirit. Amen. He said you began in the Spirit. How did you begin? Church, how did you begin? You began in the Spirit. It says, are you so what? Look at it there. It says, haven't begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? What is he trying to say? They heard the gospel and they were saved. But you guess what they are trying to do now? They are trying to now do things so that God will like them. What did he call that one? Walking in the flesh. So that Fola is right as well. Foolishness. Amen. So he's saying you're foolish. You started off believing. You heard the message of salvation. You believed. You believed. And what happened to you? Boom, you got saved. Now that you're saved, you are not trying to get God to like you by doing things. Listen, as believers, so that we're in context, as believers, do we do things for God? Do we do things for God? Do we do things for God? Do we do things in the world for saints? Do you do things in church? Do you do things as a Christian? Yes. But our motive is not to be saved. So that there is no doctrine like a believer is trying to make heaven. Believers don't make heaven. They were born there. Hallelujah. Heaven came down. You know, people always sing a lot of things. When I tell you what you are singing is what we are preaching, they say, it's not true. It's not true. Heaven came down. He came from heaven to earth. He brought heaven down. So Christ in you. Christ is the heaven. That heaven is now in you. Heaven is life. It is in you now. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Church, praise God. It's just that heaven is a dual realm. So there are people in heaven today who do not have earthly bodies. You cannot see them, but they believe the gospel. When they believe the gospel and they died, where did they go? They left their body on the earth and they are now with Jesus Christ. Heaven. There are other people like you and I who have believed the gospel. The Spirit is in us, but we are still here because we have the legal permit of this earth. It is called the body. When you destroy your body, or your body is tired, or your body gets upset with you, it drops. When it drops, your spirit goes to be with the Lord immediately as a believer. Amen. Amen. So, amen. So the spirit, so we got born again and we got born into life. And all of this is free. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. Now we are getting to how to receive miracles. Okay. So we are in verse 3 here. It says, you started, are you fully that you started in the spirit? Meaning you believe the gospel and you got saved. You're not trying to do things so that God will be happy with you. No, it says we do things as a response. We do things as responsible sons. Amen. You know, amen. How many people here, I don't know if it happened to you, when you first got born, they brought, your dad brought you to the house with his car. When you got born, or in a buggy or something, you got any which way you got home, even if they carried you on the back, wherever you got home. Let's imagine that there was a car. So they used to take you with that car everywhere. At some point, when that car is dirty, maybe when you are maybe 11, 12, they tell you to go and do what? Wash the car. That's an example. They say you should do what? Wash the car. As a responsible son, you wash the car. But you don't wash the car as what you do to stay a son. You wash the car. Are you getting it? You wash the car because you're a responsible son. So all we do, we don't do it to make any heaven. We do it because we are responsible children. Christians don't make heaven. Heaven is in them. Now let us see. How do we finally get this tank filled with all the things the believer has to the tap? Because that's where a lot of believers struggle. Look at it. It's in verse 5. If you have not been listening to me so far, please listen now because we're about to close. He therefore that what? I want you to be in verse 5. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit. What else? And? Church. I want you to say that again. And? And do what? Worketh miracles. Does he do it based on the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Answer the question by the? How do miracles happen? So if I want a miracle to break out for people in this room, what do I need to do? Let me be sure that people here are intelligent. I need to start to say so that they can hear. And as they hear, there will be a supply. Amen. Because, listen again, how did the miracles happen? The miracles happen by the hearing of faith. So, for example, let's imagine that somebody was sick and is in this meeting. How will the person get healed? Even without the gifts of the Spirit that operate in my life. How will the person get healed? The hearing of... So, I now start off. I tell him, let's go to Acts 10:38. We're going to use it as an example. Why? So that you can receive a miracle and then you can, you know, you can actually always do a miracle. Meaning, when people need to get a miracle, we are a reservoir of miracle. They just need to hear well. So, if I was sick, what do I need to do? I keep hearing about the healing power of God. A supply will flow. Look at Acts 10:38. How God, someone say how God. How God did what? Anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power. Who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the death. For God was with. So I'm here to say to everybody, God heals all. Regardless of who you are. Because I want the miracle to be around healing. So who determines it? I do. Because I give it in that direction. Amen. Who determines the miracles you receive? Really, it's you. It's you. So I start to say, God in Jesus gave the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in Jesus and Jesus, they went about, they were doing good. Healing all. So I say healing is a good thing. Say healing is a good thing. Come on, healing is a good thing. How many people will God heal? I tell you, God will heal everybody. Even if you came into the meeting and you got cancer, what do I say? God heals everybody. You say, no, your own is diabetes. God heals everybody. It's a high pain. God heals everybody. It is for your sister. God, I will not tell you, even when your sister is not here, God's power can reach her there. Can I tell you a story of the centurion servant who told Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. Just say a word. And I say, there's a Jesus. This Jesus is a healer. He heals anybody. Jesus, there is something about Jesus that loves to heal. He's a healer. He heals all the time. As you are hearing this, what does the Bible say will happen? The working of miracles starts to happen. Why? Because you chose to hear. Amen. Church, amen. So I am saying that the supply of the Spirit coming from your tank to come out in the tank, in the tap, will be based on what you hear. Praise God. Church, praise God. Church, praise God. Right, you might be here, for example, and you're going through a lot of cares and bodies in your life. Then I go to 1 Peter 5, verse 7, and then I tell you how you're worrying about things in your life. I want to encourage you to cast your cares on the Lord, for the Lord God cares for you watchfully and affectionately. You don't need to give yourself to bothering, worrying, always on the other, always bothering. Do you not know that nobody has, through worrying, added a cubit to his life? Oh, God will keep you. For I now go to Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men can do to me. Then I tell you, do you see God as your helper? Then you say, yes. What has happened? You're hearing. Amen. That hearing, what does it lead to? A supply. Why? The tank is full. Full of what? The Spirit. Amen. Church, amen. What do I need to do much more? I need to hear. We conclude in Mark 5 today. Mark 5, 25. And we stand up and then we pray. Mark 5. Look at Mark 5. The hearing of faith. Look at Mark 5. Are you in Mark 5, verse 25? Are you there now? And a certain woman, which had the issue of how many years? Say it doesn't matter. Church, say it doesn't matter. It actually doesn't really matter. There is a supply. That supply is real. I give myself to hearing. Amen. Look at it. It says this woman was with a condition for 12 years. She was hemorrhaging. Look at verse 26. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She has spent all her money and she grew worse. Look at verse 27. I'm trying to tell you very physically how to get miracles flowing is by hearing. The Bible says this woman had an issue. This issue of blood was with her 12 years. But what did she do? The Bible says she heard. Someone said she heard. She heard about Jesus. She heard of Jesus. Her hearing was what gave her ability to take action. That's what believers would call faith. Listen to it again. So it's not like, for example, you know, a person hears that God can touch your body. They've told you that you're barren, and God can touch your body regardless of that barrenness, and you have a child. Right? You hear it and believe it. You say, oh my God, that means God's going to touch my body. Or we could say, as we point our hands to you, God will touch your body and give you a brand new womb. And you say, oh, I agree to that. Based on the fact that you agree, you then make up a place for children in your home. That was an action that you took. It's not that after now, when they said, you know what people do? People now make it a ritual. They now go and start making baby cots. Not as an action. Not as an action from what was said. But they are trying to copy what somebody else did. And that's not faith. That's just you doing what somebody else did. I am saying that you hear something. Just like, for example, I say, the person that jumps highest here, I will give the person £1,000. What do you do, Funke? You jump. What that jump that she's jumping is a what? Response of faith because she believed what I said. If I said it and she didn't jump, what would we say? She does not believe. Because believing will lead you to acting. So don't focus on acting. Focus on hearing. Hearing will naturally get you to acting. That's why faith, although we can teach faith mechanically, it should be natural. I said I'll give you 1,000 pounds. You said you believe. You're just jumping there. And then why are you jumping? Because he said he'll give you 1,000 pounds if you jump. That's all. That's faith explained. Amen. So this woman heard about Jesus, heard that this man is such a healer. She was the one that said, meaning, let me say something to you. Your miracles are not up to God. God does not determine the timing of your miracle. You determine the timing of your miracle. That's just the truth. You like it or not like it. The Bible says that this woman, she said in her heart, she gave the parameters and the conditions for her healing based on the information. So, for example, Funke can say, I will step on the chair. And from the chair, I will jump. That I might be the highest jumper. What is she doing? She set the parameters to be the highest jumper so she can receive the 1,000 pounds. That's faith. This woman said, the woman set the parameters. I will touch the hem, just a part of his garment. If it is true, and I believe it is true, that this guy is an anointed, as they say, I will be made well. She does it. See the interesting thing that helps you understand that the miracles is not up to God. Listen carefully. When this woman touched Jesus, power came out of Jesus. Was she healed? Yes, she was healed. What did Jesus say? Who touched me? Even Jesus did not know. Amen. Because the tank will always flow to the tap. If somebody would hear and respond. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus said, who touched me? They said, in this whole crowd, someone touching you. Are you joking? He said, don't you see? I felt power come out of me. Who set the parameters for the power to come out? Not Jesus. The woman. Because she heard. So how does it happen? She heard. So what do you focus on? You hear. You keep hearing. In hearing, what then happens? It now leads you to what? Acting. The acting is a response. It's not something that they are telling you to do. It's a response that naturally happens when you have believed what was said. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith, right? It's just the same thing. The hearing of faith. You tell Fola, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. So there is a reservoir. Same thing. Reservoir of power. Where is it? It's in Fola. Then God says, Fola, in my name. The moment you use my name and you touch somebody with sickness, they will be healed. Fola can say, well, it is what it is. Fola can say, I will choose to lay my hands on anything that passes that is sick. What will we say Fola is doing when she lays her hands confidently on someone that is sick? Regardless of the disease, she believes the simple words that were said. Is the power coming from Fola? No. The power is in the tank within her. She is just cooperating with the laws to ensure that that happens. So listen, as we hear God's words, the hearing of faith leads us to action. When action is in place, we find a supply of the Spirit in our manifestation. Can we get a believing amen? Can we get a believing amen? Can we get a believing amen? Right, yeah. We hear that. So what will I do if I was living in sin? I will hear about his righteousness. He's righteous. I'm righteous. I'm blameless. He's blameless. I'm holy. He's holy. I'm set apart. He's set apart. I'm the temple. He's the temple. Praise God. It will start up. The more you hear and more you hear, you will start acting like the temple. Because you now know that you are the temple. Rise upon your feet. Rise upon your feet.